Good morning. Welcome this resurrection morning to the house of the Lord. It's good to be here in this Easter morning and the worship and the glorify your Saviour. I'm going to read a few verses for Isaiah, very well-known verses of Scripture before we start. Isaiah 53. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of the dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But, I love the little word that, but, he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living, for the transgressions of my people, or our people, us, was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Lovely words. This Sunday morning, this Easter morning, to know that that is pointing us right into the New Testament, to this very morning, Easter morning. So a few intermissions. It's good to see you all. Thank you all for coming this lovely morning with a fine walk and a fine breakfast. And I hope you're ready for this. The God's Word, the manna, the God's Word, and we're told to feed them on it. So a few intermissions for the coming week in the will of the Lord, Knit and Natter, 2 p.m. on Monday. Monday night the kids are about the 10-pin bowling. Who all's the kids, Norman? Who all are we? Where is he? I think I'm maybe just over the hill. Sorry, I'm too old. Midweek Bible reading and prayer meeting. Wednesday, 7:30, up in upper room, and that's Luke 24. We're getting through this coming Wednesday. Fitness and fellowship Thursday, 6:30. You can have a long walk or a short walk or an evening walk, but to come and have fellowship. Pilates Saturday at 9:30 a.m. and the speaker next Sunday at 11 o'clock in the Lord's Day is John Buchanan. And all these are in the will of the Lord. If the Lord comes back before that time, we'll be rejoicing and glorifying him where he is. So it's lovely to ken. But welcome on the way. We're going to start our service and we're going to sing a hymn, See What a Morning. simply words. Christ has risen from the dead. Let's just bow our heads and commit our time to the Lord. Can you hear me okay? Is this loud enough, eh? Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this Lord's Day morning. We thank you for the privilege that we have to gather together in your house to glorify and worship our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for your goodness and your love and your mercy towards us. We thank you for your grace, Heavenly Father. It's sufficient. My grace is sufficient for you. Thank you for your love that is from everlasting to everlasting. Your mercies are renewed every morning, and your forgiveness is total, Father. Our sins are buried in the deepest sea, never to be brought up against us again. Oh, we thank you for salvation, Father. We thank you for the Lord Jesus, your Son, our Savior. And this morning we want to lift him up. We want to glorify him. We look back at over 2,000 years ago, Father, as he hung on that center cross in Calvary, gave up his life willingly for us. For us. We thank you, Father. We bow our heads in gratitude and worship before you this morning. And we just ask that all things that will be said and done will be in accordance with your will. And it will be for your honor and for your glory. We pray for all gathered this morning, Father. We thank you for the bairns that have come along. And we ask, Heavenly Father, that you will bless them as we'll be blessed by them. And we just ask that as we gather together, our thoughts may be turning to Calvary. It'll be turning to the Garden of Gethsemane. It'll be turning to the tomb, which is empty. Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is risen. He is not here. We thank you, Father, that we serve a risen Savior. He's in our hearts today. So, Father, we just pray for any that's been absent from us today through various circumstances of life. We just ask that you'll gather yourself round about them, enclose them in your loving arms. Give them a portion of your blessing wherever they are, in whatever circumstance of life they happen to be in. For we ask all these things, leaving everything in your hands, Father. And the Spirit may come into this place this morning, enliven every one of us. For we ask it in Jesus' lovely and precious name. Amen. Amen. Now, it's lovely to see the bairns here. I think how much there is. Are you climbing this, Norman, no? Are you coming up now? We'll ask them to come up and do their feet. I can't imagine if they're going to sing now. But welcome. They're going to sing to our songs, I think. I'm going to need a mic.
It's a happy day. Oh, 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 oh.
Lovely. Wish I could sing like that, Norman. Kind of had a note in the bucket. Ah, it's lovely. Now we're going to have a Bible reading for Isabel. It's in Matthew 26, verses 20 to 30.
When evening came, Jesus was reclining at the table with the 12. And while they were eating, he said, "Truly, I tell you, one of you will betray me." They were very sad and began to say to him, one after the other, "Surely you don't mean me, Lord." Jesus replied, "The one who has dipped his hand into the bowl with me will betray me. The Son of Man will go just as it is written about him. But woe to that man who betrays the Son of Man. It would be better for him if he had not been born." Then Judas, the one who would betray him, said, "Surely you don't mean me, Rabbi." Jesus answered, "You have said so." While they were eating, Jesus took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body." Then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink from this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." When they'd sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives.
Thank you, Isabel. Thank you. Brandon is now going to use the Lord's Prayer. Lovely bit of scripture. Lovely prayer.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine's the kingdom, power, the glory, thy will be done forever. Amen.
Well done, Brandon. That was lovely. That was lovely. Second reading is going to be done by Alma, John 19, verses 17 to 37.
Carrying his own cross, he went out to the place of the skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. There they crucified him, and with him two others, one on each side, and Jesus in the middle. Pilate had a notice prepared and fastened to the cross. It read, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Many of the Jews read this sign, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and the sign was written in Aramaic, Latin, and Greek. The chief priests of the Jews protested to Pilate, "Do not write the King of the Jews, but that this man claimed to be the King of the Jews." Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." When the soldiers crucified Jesus, they took his clothes, dividing them into four shares, one for each of them, with the undergarment remaining. This garment was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. "Let's not tear it," they said to one another. "Let's decide by lot who will get it." This happened that the scripture might be fulfilled that said, "They divided my clothes among them and cast lots for my garment." So this is what the soldiers did. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to her, "Woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." From that time on, this disciple took her into his home. Later, knowing that everything had now been finished, and so that scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, "I am thirsty." A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it, put the sponge on a stalk of the hyssop plant, and lifted it to Jesus' lips. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Now it was the day of preparation, and the next day was to be a special Sabbath. Because the Jewish leaders did not want the bodies left on the crosses during the Sabbath, they asked Pilate to have the legs broken and the bodies taken down. The soldiers therefore came and broke the legs of the first man who had been crucified with Jesus, and then those of the other. But when they came to Jesus and found that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. Instead, one of the soldiers pierced Jesus' side with a spear, bringing a sudden flow of blood and water. The man who saw it has given testimony, and his testimony is true. He knows that he tells the truth, and he testifies so that you also may believe. These things happened so that the scripture would be fulfilled. "Not one of his bones will be broken." And as another scripture says, "They will look on the one they have pierced." Amen.
Thank you, Alma. Lovely words. Beautiful words. God's word. God's word. We're going to sing another hymn. Hymn 247. "They nailed my Lord upon the tree." Thank you. Now we're getting another Bible reading, and this time Ray's got to come up and read for John chapter 20, verses 1 to 20.
Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early, while it was still dark, and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." So Peter went out with the other disciple, and they were going toward the tomb. Both of them were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. And stooping to look in, he saw the linen cloth lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb. He saw the linen cloth lying there and the face cloth which had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen cloth, but folded up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed, for as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb, and as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and that he had said these things to her.
Thank you, Ray. That's lovely. God's word again. It's a bread of life, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. It's lovely again. You've noticed, I expect, that's three women that have had the readings today, and you can, the women were very prominent at the crucifixion, at the garden, at the tomb, and at the empty tomb. The women were forefront, all these things. It's lovely to ken. Thank you very much for that readings. God's word. This thing working all right, Alec, aye? Can nobody hear? This is a new system, so it's all right. My voice is never as strong. You hear my jam, aye? Capital. That's lovely. For the like over time. Is it about much to sing that? Majesty, maybe? Majesty? Would you like? Aye, we might stick that up, John. All right. And maybe they were still there, but aye. Well, we'll just talk at time. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Lovely. Let's just bow our heads and we'll commit our time to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these songs of praise, the lovely words that we've been singing. We thank you for this season of Easter. We thank you, it's a season of renewal, of new birth. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that we can come together this morning to worship and to glorify our Saviour. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that the tomb is empty. He was laid in that one brand new tomb. And yet, Heavenly Father, the stone was rolled away and the Saviour rose up. Up from the grave he arose, triumphant all his foes. So, Father, we just, as we turn to your word, ask, Heavenly Father, that you'll be my mouthpiece and I will be your mouthpiece. Father, fill my mouth with your word. And we ask it that no one else may be seen save Jesus only and him lifted up to a dying world. So, Father, thank you again for all your goodness and love and mercy and grace toward us. And we ask it in Jesus' lovely name. Amen. Amen. I've kind of said this sermon this morning, the message is from the garden to the tomb. It's done over 4 days or 5 days, and we don't get it eaten quite an hour or whatever, 20 minutes, hopefully. But it's a lovely, lovely subject. The Lord, for the first reading, they were at the Lord's Supper, communion, gathered around the table with the Lord. And we see Nicodemus, the Lord says, one of them is going to, the doctor says, he who dips his hand with me. And he says, is it me, Lord? Is it me? And Judas says, is it me, Lord? And he says, you have said, yes, it is. And you can, I was pondering about that yesterday afternoon, and here's Judas, being with the Lord all that time as he was appointed a disciple, and here was him betraying his Saviour, if you like, but yet he got an opportunity there and then to get the forgiveness of Christ if he just said to the Lord, Lord, forgive me. Lord, save me. But to hear us, we ponder that kind of things, and maybe we question a wee bit. If, why did Judas not just say, I'm sorry, Lord, will you forgive me? And we wonder about it. Why did the Lord not forgive him there and then? But you can, when you reflect on it and look around about it, you can, it's a God's plan of salvation. If Judas hadn't betrayed him, there wouldn't have been a Calvary. If Judas had come to the Lord, there wouldn't have been a tomb. And we've got to God is gospel truth. God is gracious, and he's a forgiving God. He's a loving God. Yet he had a plan of salvation for you and for me, and that was for the Lord Jesus to go at the cross of Calvary. Calvary is an awful place, and yet Golgotha, it's God. The place of the skull. And it's really sad that Judas went out and he hanged himself. What a sad end. What a sad end for a man that had been with a Christ and with a Saviour so often in his life. You see, we as we'll read about the Passover meal in the upper room, it was lovely again. And we celebrate that. We was there on Friday night in Peterhead, and we celebrated the Last Supper, the Passover, from a Jewish perspective. And it was a lovely time, and it was amazing, really, for it to come out of it. And what the Jews went through to prepare and partake in that Passover feast, it was a lot different for what we do, but it was lovely again. That the Jews, the Messianic Jews, were doing that. You see, it says, when you get the bread and the wine, do this in remembrance of me. And Luke is only, it actually says that, do this in remembrance of me at the table. But we're going to come for there, for the Last Supper, and we're going to come out into the garden. It says, after they'd sung a hymn, and the hymn was probably a psalm. It was the Hallel, and we can see that and read that if you want for you him. Psalm 113 to 118. They reckon that's, I'm not a Bible scholar as regards that, but I've read up on that this while back. And it says, after the Last Supper, and they went away, the Hallel. It's a traditional part of the Passover meal. I think a man mentioned that on Friday night. And I'd ask James for the Passover for the children of Israel when they were coming out of Egypt. The last plague that God set upon the Egyptian people was the firstborn would die at midnight. His plan to get the people of Israel out of Egypt. And they were told to take a lamb without spot and without blemish, without a mark, and sacrifice that lamb and take the blood and sprinkle the lintel and both doorposts with the blood. And the message was, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Pass over. And it says, the angel of the Lord at midnight went through the whole land of Egypt, and the firstborn, if they weren't sheltering under the blood at that time, were taken away. And that was very sad, but that was the way things were. And it's sad, but we are sheltering the blood. It says, without the shedding of blood, there will be no remission for sin. The blood is precious. Blood is precious, the precious blood of the Lord Jesus. And if that blood stops pumping, there's no life. But the life is in the blood. If you read Leviticus 17 and 11, I think it is, or 11 and 17, it tells you that. The life is in the blood. And the blood was shed in Calvary. We're going to come to that. They went into the garden, and the Lord had three prayer sessions there, much the same each time. Lord, let this cup pass from me. Oh, dear me, what an agony he must have been in, a spirit and body and mind. He must have been struggling when the load of sin was, he knew it to go through. And he goes, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup or let this sacrifice pass from me. But to him he says, there was no other good enough to pay the price of sin. Only Jesus could unlock the gate and let us welcome him. And that's what we're relying on this morning. I hope everyone who's here today, we're sheltering under the blood. And three times he said that. Three times he went back to his disciples. Three times they were sleeping. Oh dear, eh? Imagine that. We look at sometimes, no man. Asleep, dozy sometimes. We get the way doing sometimes. And again, as it says, and an angel came alongside and strengthened him. And I think only Luke is the only in it, if I've been going through this past week, Luke is the only in it that records the angel strengthened him at that time. That's in verse 43. And the agony he was going through, he prayed more earnestly. And it says his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling to the ground. I can hear the angel saying, come on, Jesus, carry on. You've got to get through this. This is your Father's plan of salvation. But again, he said it three times, my Father, if it's possible, if there's some other way, take me away from this, or take us away from me. Then I put me through this agony of soul and spirit and mind. Imagine that, great drops of blood falling to the ground. Nevertheless, not my will, let thy will be done. Jesus was back to his disciples, and his agony was past in the garden, and he had come to that decision, and the kent which he would do, because it was his Father's will, and he was in the will of the Father. That's why he was there. And it says, we went into the garden, come, let us go. And the disciples had to follow him. When Judas came on a boat and betrayed him, with a kiss, mind you, 30 pieces of silver. And yet Judas says his end was a lot worse than his beginning. The tomb, the garden, sad time, but a necessary time. The cross, and there's a verse here in Matthew, it set my mind thinking, again, and it says in verse, I can't remember the number, I'll let you look it up, I'll let you get into my Bible. It says, sitting down, they watched him there. There must have been a lot of people running about. The women were all there, his mom was there, and his brothers were there, and a lot of people watching him. And it says, sitting down, they watched him. I wonder how we'd reacted if we'd been there that day. seeing the Saviour hanging on that cross. It must have been hard. But yet the people looked upon him. But it says, they shall look upon him whom they have pierced in days to come. The centurion took a spear and pierced his side. They nailed him to the cross of Calvary. And it said they put on a crown of thorns upon his head. And you can, if never that crown of thorns was laid upon his head, the blood started to flow. God's word says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission for sin. And whenever that crown of thorns was set upon his, the blood started to flow. They took him to it, Golgotha Hill, Calvary's Hill, and they nailed him to that cross. We often sing that hymn, was it the nails, dear Saviour, that bound you to the cross? Nay, it was my undying love, perfect love, cast out fear. The love of God is something wonderful, wonderful it is to me. You see, the Lord got through in Calvary for you and for me. And I dare say, if the Lord had, well, it was his Father's will, he couldn't get against his Father's will, that was a thing. And he'd utter 7 cries for the cross. Excuse me, I'm going to have a tickly throat. He'd 7 cries for the cross. I'm going to read them to you. I've tried to put them in order, but it's maybe name. This is a scripture. It says in Luke 23 and 34, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That was a difficult thing to say. Father, forgive them. Hanging on the cross, an old wooden cross, nailed to that cross for you and for me. Luke 23 and 43 says, there was 2 malefactors, one on each side, and one rebuked them, and the other said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And fit they say, verily I say unto you, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Lovely again, that was salvation on the cross. That man didn't work for his salvation. He didn't buy it, he didn't pay for it. It was the grace of God through his Son, the Saviour. It saved that man. And I believe that man's in glory with the Saviour. He was with the Saviour. The Saviour passed away that day and said that he, and I would say he's with the Saviour right enough. And then we see the woman that goes, woman, behold thy son. And he said to the disciple John, whom he loved, behold thy mother. Behold thy mother. Matthew 27 and 46 says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? There was darkness on the whole land for 5 hours. And his heavenly Father couldn't even look upon him. The sin of this world, your sin and my sin, from Adam to that time, and from then to now, the 20th of April 2025, every sin that was ever committed was poured upon the Saviour. Never whether his Father couldn't look upon him, his beloved Son. my God, why hast thou forsaken me? But his Heavenly Father hadn't forsaken him. He just couldn't look upon him in that darkness as the load of sin was laid upon him. John 19 and 28 says, I thirst. John 19 and 30 says, it is finished. But he said, it was just starting. It was just starting. It is finished, completed, paid in full. It was like a kind of minor word that I was reading yesterday. So I wrote it down, and I hadn't done it. I was written down somewhere, maybe. And it was in Aramaic, I think. And it was just, it was like a receipt, paid in full. Your sin and mine was paid for on Calvary's cross. Free salvation to whosoever will. And his last shout on the cross, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And it says after that, and having said that, he gave up the ghost. Oh, what a wonderful Saviour we have. That's the cross of Calvary. We've been in the garden. I'll move on quickly to the tomb. There were a few women that went to the tomb with spices to anoint the body of Jesus that resurrection morning. Amongst them were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, Joanna, and another woman who turned out to be Salome. We read that in Mark 16 and 1, that were with them. So we're just going to take a look at Mary Magdalene at the tomb of Jesus. She was first at the tomb early, early. And so the stone had been rolled away. The tomb was open. And must have had a look in before she ran and found Peter and John. She must have realized that because she says, they have taken away the Lord. And of course, you hear the story. Peter and John ran together. John was first to look into the tomb, but he didn't again. Why I didn't again? Although he must have seen the linen clothes lying. Peter, of course, was the impetuous one. Went right in and saw everything lying. The napkin folded together by itself. And it says, then John went in as well, saw and believed. We're only seeing the tomb, and we can only relate that to our mind's eye. Our mind at that time, that you can go to Israel and see the tomb, where the tomb's supposed to be. But try and picture that tomb. Hewn out a stone, it said. Brand new tomb, which never man had lain. And here is Mary at the door of the tomb, and nobody there. What a surprise. What a shock, even. What a shock. But here was Mary, stood at the sepulchre, weeping. This is what we read. Then she looked into the tomb and saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head of Jesus, where Jesus was, and the other at his feet. Why weepest thou? They have taken away my Lord, and I know that where they have laid him. And it's really sad. She was so disappointed and heartbroken. And the angel said, Lord, why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, he is risen. Hallelujah, yeah. He is risen. What a momentous sentence to get for Mary. It's really sad, you can, that we folk, when I believe in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. It is hard to believe, I cannot. It's hard to comprehend. But that's where faith comes in, and faith through God's word. And we've got to grasp hold of that, that the tomb is empty. Our Savior is seated at his Father's right hand. And again, when Stephen was being stoned, Stephen looked up and says, steadfastly into heaven. And he saw, as it were, the Son of Man standing at his Father's right hand, waiting for Stephen. Come on here, Stephen. You've been... come here. Jesus saith unto her, again, she didn't come for he was at. She saw this man standing. She thought he was a gardener. And asked, if you have taken him away, let us know where he is, and I will go and get him, or I will take him away to prepare his body. Jesus says unto her, Mary. What a lovely introduction. Mary. She turned herself and said unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. You see, Mary Magdalene was the first person to see and speak to the risen Lord. And we see that verses that we read, when Jesus, we see the call of Jesus, Mary, and she could answer, Rabboni, Master. Have we heard the call of Jesus? Have you heard that still, small voice speaking into your innermost being? Sometimes it's a very forceful voice. Sometimes it's a still, just a broad something that happens and something comes into your mind and you hear the word of God coming to you. You hear the Saviour calling. We see the call of Jesus to Mary. Lovely to ken his name. She kent his name, eh? The command of Jesus, but go. Go and tell the disciples. And she ran to tell them. And that's still our prerogative of the day. Go and tell. It says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. I've never been out of this country, but I've preached in a lot of different places and spoken to a lot of different folk. And that's an opportunity that we have as Christians to share this joy that's within our hearts, this wonderful thing that we've got, salvation, that nobody can take away off us. It's ours as long as we claim it. And it's there to be claimed. It's free. It's ready for you. All we have to do is ask. And we see the confession of Mary. And she ran to the disciples, I have seen the Lord. I have seen the Lord. Have we heard the still small voice of the Spirit pleading with us? Have we gone into the whole world to proclaim these things? We need to have we confessed and professed Jesus as Lord. So there, I'm going to stop at that. The time is gone. So there, we have seen the three main events of Easter. The garden, where his spirit was desperate to give these things up. All pointing the greatest story that ever been told. There's been nothing else said. Some lovely stories going about, but there's nothing like the story of the crucifixion. As the garden and the crucifixion and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, there's nothing in this world to compare with it. Nothing to come very way near it. That wonderful story, all leading to salvation and everlasting life for those of us who have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Great story has ever been told. First fruits of those who are asleep. 1 Corinthians 15, I'm going to read this because I'm growing old. My memory's nothing fit it with, sadly. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised in the incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruption shall, and this mortal shall have, can I read that? Have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass, saying that it is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is in the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren and sisters, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And I'm going to finish with two or three verses in Thessalonians, half of well-known scriptures. Just bear with me. I'll get a hold of this. You can find it. First Thessalonians 4. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren and sisters, again, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For those who say unto you, by the word of the Lord, and that's infallible word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Amen. It's lovely to ken that we have something to look forward to. One day we shall see Jesus in all his beauty, in all his glory, and we're going to fall at his feet in adoration and praise. Let's just bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, and we praise you this Easter morning, this resurrection morning. The tomb is empty. Our Savior is at your right hand, even this very moment, interceding for us. And we just ask that each head bow in your presence, each of us will have a realization of what is ahead, that one day we shall see Jesus in all his glory, in all his majesty, and we'll be singing his praises throughout all eternity. We ask it, and Father, you bless your word to our hearts. Help us to meditate upon it and ponder these things. For we ask it in Jesus' lovely name. Amen. Amen. We're going to sing a hymn, 253. Thine. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege of being here this morning. We thank you for the opportunity to open your word and meditate upon it. And so we just ask now, Father, you'll part us with your richest blessing. Go with us where we would go and abide with us where we abide until that great day dawns and all the shadows flee away until our Lord and Saviour comes back for his own blood-bought people and then forevermore with the Lord. And God's people said, Amen. Amen.